Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Good. I'd like to thank Pastor Jenkins for the opportunity to preach this morning. It's very humbling. It is very rare that a pastor gives up his pulpit, let alone for a Sunday morning. That's just unheard of unless you're some big-name preacher coming in town, and here I am, a nobody that came through and got the invitation from Pastor Jenkins to present my testimony and preach to his congregation this morning. It's very humbling, Pastor. I'd like to thank you, and it's a pleasure to be here at Buffalo Ridge this morning. Met Brother Abbott back in December, and just been a wonderful time, and man, God is good. God is so good. I came in here Tuesday just to meet some pastors at a preacher's fellowship, and figured it would just be a one-day thing, from Maryland, traveling down to Tennessee just to meet some preachers, possibility make some contacts and get some meetings set up. And God has just blessed the entire week, giving me meetings this week, so I was able to stay and get better use of the trip instead of making a one-day trip and future meetings. And I can tell you right now, if God has called you to the ministry and you've turned it down or want to do your own thing, I know you're not living a happy life. The best day and best decision of my life was turning my life over to God to serve Him. Could, real quick, just turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. That's where I'll be preaching out of. And while you turn there, I'll tell you a little bit about the country of Trinidad. As you mentioned, my name is Kevin Field, and I am a missionary on deputation, going to be serving in the country of Trinidad. I am sent out of Victory Baptist Church in Charlotte Hall, Maryland, Pastor Robert Kiner, serving under Baptist International Missions Incorporated. The country of Trinidad has about 1.5 million people. It's located about 12 miles north of Venezuela. It's the southernmost island in the Caribbean Sea. And I know what most of you are thinking right now. This guy's a missionary to the Caribbean. Come on, that's not a mission field. That's a tourist spot. You'll be laying on the beach. But it is a needy field. It is unlike any other island in the Caribbean. They do not rely on tourism. They produce natural gas, oil, and tar. And so they rely heavy on industry. So you show up, it doesn't look like the Cayman Islands, the Bahamas, Bermuda. You don't have the white sand beaches, the beautiful waters. They work in their waters. There's sediment. I mean, it's just a... they're on a fast pace, and they're looking to get work done. They don't just sit back and relax and say, all right, tourism, come here. These people are on a mission. Well, it has a unique makeup. It was a former British colony, so they do speak the Queen's English, but it was also a trade route. And as a result, half the population is of African descent. They were brought over as slaves to work in the sugar cane fields and produce the sugar cane. Well, with the abolition of slavery in the 1860s, there was nobody left to work in the sugarcane fields, so Indians from East India came over as indentured servants to take on the responsibilities of working in a field. As a result, about half the population is African and half the population is East Indian. Well, that brings in a lot of different religions. As you know, in Africa, they worship false gods, practice voodoo and many things like that. There are still people doing blood sacrifices and drinking the blood of animals over there. With the East Indian culture, there's a large Hindu population. And what's so hard with them is they worship hundreds and hundreds of gods. And you can go tell them about Jesus Christ and tell them that they need God, and they'll gladly accept Jesus Christ. But what they do is they just move a little space off on their shelf and put God right up there and have him, worship him, just like they will their other gods. But then you have to train and teach them and say, no, that's not the way. We serve a one true God. There's no other gods. And it takes multiple teachings to get them to that realization. Trinidad has a unique law with missionaries. They're only allowed to stay in the country for 3 years before they're required to leave for an entire year before Trinidad will allow them to re-enter. You have a missionary that goes over there, starts a church. He's over there for 3 years, pouring his heart, his life, his soul into this church, trying to reach others for Christ, trying to make a difference in a country. And 3 years later, when he starts finally getting a work a little established, he's required to leave for an entire year. Imagine what would happen to your church if your pastor had to leave this pulpit for an entire year. No leadership, it's gone. Out of the church. You'll barely find somebody to cover a service on Sunday. Nobody's here praying and pouring their heart over the people. Nobody's following up on visitors that happen to come in on a Sunday morning. Nobody's out knocking doors in the local area because the leadership is gone. The missionaries are lucky to come back to find just a small few, maybe one, faithful member left in the ministry. So my problem is, or what I plan on doing, is working with a veteran missionary down there, David Long, to assist him in his work. He has to come off the field in July of 2013. Lord willing, I'll have all my support raised up and be there by May of 2013 so I can oversee the work and make sure it continues, make sure there's somebody there to fill that gap and make sure to see that work continues. And that way, when he comes back, you know, that work will still be going strong and there'll still be people in the church and souls will still be in reach for Christ. So I ask you to pray for me as I plan on heading to Trinidad. And after he gets back, I plan on working with youth. A little bit about my testimony and the reason I have a heart for youth is I was reached through the bus ministry of Victory Baptist Church. Because somebody decided to run a bus, get up early on a Sunday morning, get in a bus smelling like diesel fuel, driving it around to pick up some snot-nosed brat that hardly listened when he was on the bus, I got in church. It was right there where I heard the gospel and I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. As a result of that bus ministry, my brother and sister are saved. My mom and dad are saved. Numerous aunts and uncles have been reached for Christ, and my grandparents. And this morning, my dad drove that bus in that church that used to pick me up. So I'm a firm believer in the bus ministry. You know, everybody wants to focus on the adults of the church. We need to raise the attendance. We need to get the adults in. And yes, we should. You know, they're the ones that are going to supply the finances to keep the works going. And they have the jobs and they can do many things. But we all age and generations pass away. And if we don't pass the torch of Christianity and the teachings of God to the young people and capturing their hearts for God, what's going to be left of the church? What's going to be happening when that generation moves on? Will there be another generation to pick up that torch and carry that work through? If this church did not have a vision back in when it was started, 1779, it would not be here today. If it did not pass the torch to the children, these doors would be closed up today. So that's where my heart comes from working with the youth, to keep the knowledge of God going. I was called to the ministry in my sophomore year of high school. I was down at Bob Jones University. I was in a fine arts competition. I was in the Bible quiz team, and one message, I don't even know who preached. I remember the message was being on just one person to go out and make a difference. And God had been working in my life about surrendering to foreign missions for quite some time, seeing missionaries that had come through the church. I can't even tell you what happened. I can't even tell you why. I had fought God on it. But that Wednesday night, all I remember is sitting in the pew, just grabbing the back of it, rocking back and forth, arguing with God. And the next thing I know, I'm in the middle of the aisle walking down, surrendering my life over to Him. And so, in the course of that, you plan on, you know, well, I got to make preparations. I got to learn more. And so I went off to Bible college. And I had my future mapped out. I was going to serve God. I was going to go to the mission field. You know, I could finish college in 3 years, take summer school, and knock down the four-year degree into 3 years. At the time, it was taking about 18 to 24 months for a missionary to get on the field, finish up their deputation. So I figured within 5 years, I could be serving God on the mission field. But there was a problem with that. I was putting my timetable on God's plan. Yes, I wanted to do God's will, But I wanted to do it on my terms and my conditions. I had already told God, yes, God, I'll surrender my life to you. I'll go to the mission field. But I didn't give him complete surrender. I wanted to still have my say in things. Well, God has a sense of humor. I end up cramming those 4 years into seven. And so he kind of mixed up my timetable a little bit. Along the way, God opened up my eyes. See, all through high school when I was younger, I was real big into sports. Football, motocross, BMX, basketball, soccer, you name it. Anything organized sports, I was signing up for it. I was going to play it. And I gloried in what I did. Man, did you see that hit I laid out on that guy? Did you see that fumble I recovered? Did you see that sack? Man, did you see that layup I did against two defenders? Man, did you see that triple I just cleared on my 125? Only the 250s were doing it. It was all about me. Look what I did. Look what I could accomplish. And I did everything in my strength, in my power, to my glory. Then something happened along the way. In 2005, I was officially diagnosed with amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. It's also known as ALS and commonly known as Lou Gehrig's disease. What it is a motor neurological disorder where the muscles deteriorate in the body. You lose signals from the brain to the muscle, and the muscles just waste away. I don't know if you can tell. There's a difference between my right hand and my left hand. It's a little bit smaller. I do shake a little bit. And yes, some of that was from being nervous up here and getting ready to preach God's word and deliver the message. And so it's kind of multiplied a little bit. But what the disease does is it spreads throughout the body. It starts in the outer extremities and then moves to the interior, the heart, the lungs, your esophagus, the interior muscles. And it's a terminal illness. As of this time, there's no cure for it. The doctors really have no idea of anything about the disease because it's not like they can go in and just start playing around with your spinal cord and start trying different things out without paralyzing you. So it's very dangerous. Man, that set me back. Thank God. What's going on here? You know, here I am. 20 years old, felt like I was bulletproof, had years and years and years ahead of me. Nothing's supposed to happen to me. I'm in the prime of my life. God, I'm in the middle of Bible college, trying to serve you, planning on going to the mission field. Why are you hindering me? Why are you doing this to me? And I'm not going to lie, I got mad at God. It was very upsetting. I said, God, what are you doing? You know, everything's running through my head. You know, most people live with this disease 3 to 5 years. I'm sitting there, God. So I'm going to spend, you know, a few more years in Bible college. You know, that could be the end of my life right there. Then say I do get to the get with the mission board and start deputation. It's another 2 years of my life. If I'm lucky, I'll see the end of deputation. God, I don't understand this. How could you do this to me? There's so many people out there that don't want to do your will, and they live perfect, healthy lives. And so things start running through my head. Well, I got a limited amount of time on this earth, you know. Let's get out a bucket list. See what I can accomplish. See what I want to do. But my family had a hard time with it. And as I was getting angry at God, not only were my parents upset because of what was just announced to me, but they were also upset in seeing how I was handling it. And that kind of hurt me. But the one thing was, even though I was mad at God and couldn't understand, and very upset, I still knew I had to maintain Christian duties. You know, I still prayed, even though they weren't the nicest of prayers to God. I still read my Bible, and it was about a month after the doctors had told me everything that God gave me this passage in my reading. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 6. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking, arguably one of the greatest Christians, missionaries of all time. Verse 6 says, "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Then the Apostle Paul goes back, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today to thank you for all you've done, Lord. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on this cross, to pay for our sins so we would not have to spend an eternal separation from you in torment. Holy Spirit, I come before you now to just empower me. Use me as a vessel. Speak through me. Pray that there's someone here struggling today, that the message of God's grace will get through to them and just help them dearly today. And I pray that if there's one here today that does not know you as personal Savior, that they will come to terms with that and accept Jesus Christ as a Savior this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The Apostle Paul here, he's got this thorn in his flesh. And for him, he talks about, you know, lest I glory. Well, what does the Apostle Paul have to glory about? Like I mentioned, he's arguably the greatest Christian in the Bible of all time. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I mean, he had a perfect lineage. He was of the top-notch Pharisees, which were the religious rulers of the day of Jesus. He went to the best schools. He sat under the highest Pharisees. He learned the Jewish law. He knew it inside and out. This was somebody. This was somebody to look up to aspire to be to. If anybody had reason to glory, it was the Apostle Paul. Not only was he a Hebrew, but he was also a Roman citizen. That was the highest honor in that day. If he had problems with the Jews and the Hebrews, all he had to do was pull out that Roman citizenship. They couldn't touch him. They had to send him off to Rome and let them deal with him. So he used that to his advantage quite a few times. But here is somebody that was somebody. But he tells us something happened. He had a thorn in the flesh. The Bible never clearly states what that was. All we know is it was some sort of hindrance that was of a good magnitude for it to be mentioned. And the Apostle Paul tells us he goes to God three different occasions, three times, and asks God to remove this thorn. And I don't think it was just a simple prayer, you know, God, you know, this is wrong with me. Please take this away. Amen. You know, this is something he was fervent about. You know, I could see him begging to God, God, please just take this thorn from me. Here I am. I'm trying to get the gospel to the world. And this is hindering me. I could do so much more for you if you just remove this from me. But God goes and answers him and says, My grace is sufficient for thee, For my strength is made perfect in weakness. God goes to the Apostle Paul and tells him, I'm not going to remove it. Man, that's heartbreaking. Here you are pouring your heart out to God, serving Him. And God starts what you see as a hindrance. And you ask God to take it away so you could possibly further serve Him. And God says, no, I'm not. That's hard. But the Apostle Paul realized that it's God's grace that will get him through. Most of us rely on ourselves. Yes, when the big trials come, when the big hardships come, then we'll run to God. Then we'll go to God and ask Him for His help. But do we rely on God through our daily walks, through our daily life, for the small things? Or do we rely on ourselves? See, all through high school and in sports and everything, I relied on my strength. In college, I relied on my strength to get up in the morning, to go out and soul win, to go through my classes. But with the Lou Gehrig's disease, I have a weakness. There's mornings where I have a hard time getting out of bed, a hard time getting dressed. My hand won't move, it won't function. And you're really at God's mercy then. Every morning, there's a prayer to God. God, give me the strength to go through today. God, give me the strength to do what I have to do. It's no longer relying on my strength. And the Apostle Paul realized this. Later in verse 9, he says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Once God told him that, he realized, all right, God, it's your power that's going to get me through this. And there's so much more that we can do through God's power and God's grace than we can do through ourselves. You know, with this, everybody is saying, you know, I'm sorry to hear that, and I'll pray for God's healing. You know, I tell them, don't pray for God's healing for me. You know, because one of two things are going to happen to me. One, God's going to do the ultimate healing power and take me to heaven. Then what good am I getting the gospel to Trinidad and telling others about Jesus? Number two, God does heal me. He gives me a full recovery, regains my strength. But I know myself. I'll go back to saying, man, look what I did. See the people I led to Christ? Man, look at this youth work I'm building here in Trinidad. Because there's nothing there to remind me that, all right, God, you're in control. So I will be happy just living my life in the state I am with the hindrances and the hardships, because I know anything that happens as a result of my life, it's not because I did it. It's not because of my power that I went through and did it. It's because God gave me the power. And there's so many Christians out here today that God does send a thorn in their flesh. You know, they might get in a car accident and paralyze them, take the eyesight away, take the hearing away, take a spouse away. For some of you mothers and fathers, taking a child away, giving somebody cancer. And these are terrible things, and so many Christians today say, all right, God, you know, we're supposed to love you, and you're supposed to be a wonderful and caring God, and you're supposed to love us. Why do you allow these bad things to happen? You know, because of this, I can't serve you anymore. You know, many men, God, you took my spouse away from me. I can't serve you. Many women, what am I supposed to do? My husband's gone. Or they get mad at God. Why did He take my child from me? He gave me this child, and yet a few weeks, a couple months, a couple years later, God decides to take him home. God, why would you do that? We wonder why God does something. Can I tell you, He wants to prove His grace to us. He wants to show us His strength manifested in us Because if we don't think that there's something wrong, something to hinder us, we overlook God's power and God's grace in our lives. And I can tell you, there are so many times I've been able to witness to somebody, to share the gospel with them, when they've been angry at God. Well, they say we serve a loving God. Why would he take my strength away from me? Why would he put me in this wheelchair? I've been able to say, let me tell you why. God has a purpose. He has a plan. God's grace will carry you through this. But it also gives me a chance to share God's ultimate grace with them. The grace of him sending his only begotten son to this earth to die a horrible death on the cross so that he could pay for something that he did not do because of a love for a people that rejected him. He died, paid the ultimate sacrifice, conquered death, and rose so that we could spend eternity in heaven and not have to worry about eternal separation from God. And that grace is available to all of us. And if there's somebody here today that you say, well, I'm not sure about that kind of grace. I don't know if I'd go to heaven. I'd beg you, don't leave here without finding out how you can know for sure. But I want you to look at this. We want to quit on God, but the Apostle Paul tells us this. He could have very easily said, God, you know what? You don't take this thorn away? I'm tired of struggling. I'm tired of going through hardships. I'm going to just sit here and be comfortable and I'll read my Bible and I'll pray and I'll tell a few others here, but I'm done traveling for you. I'm done going out and spreading the gospel. There's so many Christians today that want to give up on God. They want to say, God, because you did this, I'm no longer going to serve you. And we miss the great opportunities of God's grace. But look at verse 10. The Apostle Paul says, therefore, I take pleasure. He didn't say, therefore, I accept. Therefore, I'm comfortable with. Therefore, I'm okay with. He says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. He takes pleasure in reproaches. He takes pleasure in necessities and persecutions. So that means when he got sent to prison, he took pleasure in that. He knew those hardships, God was going to do a miraculous thing through him. Something great was to come. If he would have given up God in that prison and said, God, I'm in prison. Why are you locking me up? Why are you allowing this to happen? I'm trying to do your will. If he would have given up right there in that prison cell, there'd be millions of people without the gospel. There'd be millions of people that would have died and gone to hell because one man decided, that's it, God. I'm done. I'm tired of suffering. But he knew that when those times came, that's when God's strength was most evident. Because God told him in verse 9, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And he said, sitting there, I can see it now, God, I'm at an extremely low point in my life. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's to come. But Lord, I know you're right here with me. Lord, I know this is the time you're going to shine. And if anything happens, it's because of you. Because sitting there in chains and locked up, you really can't do anything. You're not going anywhere. And for him to get out, it was because of God's grace. And that's what Satan wants to do to us. When we get that thorn, when something tragic happens in our lives, Satan wants to keep that to oppress us from doing the things of God. Some of you might have been called to preach, called to the mission field, called to full-time service for God. But because Satan came in and hindered you a little bit, stirred you up, You quit on God. Say, God, that's it. I tried it. Such and such happened in my life. I'm done with this. I'm done serving you. You know, I'll be happy to sit in a pew and go to church, but, you know, I'm going to do my own thing now. And that's what Satan wants from us. That pleasures him more than anything when he can take a Christian that's been on fire for God, hinder him, and just put him on the back burner. Let them mellow out. Get lukewarm and just sit there and do nothing. And you know what? There's so many people that watch us. Some of us that have gone before the church and said, you know, I surrender my life to God. You know, God, I surrender to be a preacher. I surrender to be a missionary. Whatever your will is, God, I surrender it to you. And there might be some teenagers watching, some young adult surrendering their life. Or there might be some little children watching some teenager surrender their life to God. But they see how real and how evident God is to you when those hardships came and you gave up on God. What does that tell them? Yes, God was good enough to save me. And his grace was sufficient to pay for my sins. But God's grace isn't good enough to direct me. God's grace isn't good enough to lead me. God's grace is not good enough to give me the strength in my daily life. So I'm going to just give up on God. It's not what God wants. Our purpose is to be a light to this world for God. You know, I no longer am upset that God's hindered me. I glory in it because I know I have God's grace. Anything I do, it's because it's the power of God. And man, I just pray that God's power and God's glory is exalted because of sufferings, because of persecutions, because of infirmities. My prayer to God every day is, God, what do you have this for? It's no longer why God, it's what God. What's the purpose you have in my life for this? What am I supposed to do with this? How am I to glory you, God? Because if I go through my life, if I would have given up when I first found out about my ALS, I would have completely missed God's purpose for my life. God gave me this for a reason. And God gives each and every one of you some kind of hindrance for a reason. And if I would have given up on God right there, I would have gotten to heaven and stood before God. And what I had to answer to him for my Christian life, he says, man, you blew it. You royally blew it. Yes, what you saw as a bad thing, I had great good coming out of this. What you saw as a hindrance, I was going to shine through that. And because you gave up, it was all wasted. You suffered for nothing because you did not follow my will, because you didn't seek my purpose. You spent a life of suffering, a life of misery, being angry at me, all for nothing. So I asked God, what? What's my purpose for this? God, don't let me miss my purpose. Who am I supposed to reach with this? And I pray that if you're here today and you've had trials, tribulations, infirmities that have driven you away from God, that have caused you to be angry and bitter at God, say, all right, God, I now understand. Your grace is going to carry me through. Your grace is going to shine in my life. I want to be a prime example of your grace. I want to be a prime example of your power. If there's somebody here today that's dealing with wondering, why God? Why don't you turn around and ask, what God? God, what am I supposed to do with this? Just like the Apostle Paul, say, you know, I become a fool in glorying of myself, but I'm going to take pleasure in the infirmities and the reproaches and the tribulations. I'm going to pleasure in that because then I know I have God's power on my life. And if there's someone here today that can say, you know, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. If I were to die today, I'm not 100% for sure that, you know, I would spend eternity in heaven. You know, that's the first example of God's grace. Was his son Jesus Christ dying on the cross to pay for our sins. Because we cannot go before God and spend eternity in heaven having sin on our account. His son Jesus Christ suffered and paid on our behalf. That we did not have to spend eternal separation from our Creator. An eternal torment in hell paying for what we did wrong, which justly we should. But Jesus Christ decided to show us his grace, and God show us his grace by sending his son, saying, you know what? I love y'all so much. Here's my son. I'll make him pay for your wrong. I want to have his power take care of what you cannot do. If there's someone here like that today, I pray that you would just come and accept God's grace of salvation. Could just bow our heads. We'll close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity here to present what you have done in my life, Lord, and the grace you have given me. And I pray that if there's one person sitting here today that has had the reproaches, the infirmities, tribulations, and is not trusting in your grace, that they will realize that your grace will carry them through any way they need it to. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Let's keep our heads bowed, our eyes closed.
You've heard this young man's story. And I don't know about you, but it was not the sickness that I got that was being lifted up through this. It was the grace of God. I have this question for you as they begin to play through softly. What are you going to do with the grace of God? I'd like to say that there are three types of people here today. There are those who are lost without Christ, potentially sitting here. There are those who are saved and there is no thorn in your flesh. And there are those who are saved and there is a thorn in your flesh. Let me deal with the first of those. Do you really know Jesus as your Savior? Do you really understand that Jesus died on the cross to pay the sin debt that you and I owe? That he was buried and rose again the third day. Has there been a time in your life when you've repented of your sin, received the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart, and become a child of God by grace through faith? Have you say, Jody, I'm glad I'm a Christian. I'm glad I'm saved. I don't hope so. I don't think so. I know so. I am a child of God. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? You know that. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hands right back down. Is there somebody here today say, Jody, I don't know that. But this grace of God that was preached on today that is sufficient for my salvation, I'd like to receive God's grace today. I'd like to accept God's offer of salvation. I'd like to be saved. I'd like to know that heaven is my home. And you say, Jody, pray for me. If that's you, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Is there anybody like that? You say, pray for me. I'd like to know Jesus as my Savior. I'd like to know that I'm a born-again child of God. But let me ask you this question. Have you said, Jody, I'm a Christian. And I walked into this auditorium today and there's a thorn in my flesh. It may not be to the extent of what this young man has, or it may be even worse, whatever the case may be, but you say, Jody, I understand what this young man's saying when he's saying there's a thorn in his flesh. There's something there that you would not choose for yourself. And it hurts. It's painful. It hinders. So you think. It could be the loss of a loved one. It could be the loss of a child or a husband or a wife or a parent. It could be a personal sickness that you're having. It could be a hardship, a financial thing, or a marital problem, or a problem with your child, or a wayward children, whatever the case may be. It could be a tormented mind, whatever. You say, Jody, I have a thorn. I have one. If that's you today, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? You say, I've got a thorn. I have one. I've got one. Yes. Well, that's a lot of hands. You can put your hands down. If you raised your hand to that question, I want you to listen to me closely. In just a moment, we're going to open these altars for an invitation. And I am not telling you to come forward. I'm just simply guiding you and asking you to do it. You say, Jody, I can't kneel. Then don't kneel. Just come and have a seat on this front pew. Acknowledge that you understand this. And I guarantee you, if you have a thorn in your flesh, I guarantee you, going back to one thing that Brother Joe Arthur said, that the devil is trying to torment your mind. He's trying to torment you with this. And just like Brother Field said, change your question from why God to what God. What is it? What is it that you're trying to do? There's a lost and dying world that the Lord wants to reach. And many times He uses those with thorns in their flesh to reach a lost and dying world. Why don't you respond? Please, come talk to the Lord and ask God to help you keep your eyes upon His grace. And through the tears and through the shadows and through the doubts, when the questions are bombarding your mind, say, God, I don't understand. But something I do know is you're good all the time. And you make no mistakes. And you have a higher purpose than I even understand. Help me not to rebel. Help me to rely on you, to believe. And help me to trust your grace to help me and see me through. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, help people to respond. Help people to come. And to say, with or without a thorn, God's grace is sufficient. May thy will be done. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. You be the first. Step out of your place as Brother Gary sings. Come on. Come on now, folks. Let's talk to God about these things. Let's talk to God about these thorns. Let's say, God, I have a thorn in my flesh. This is it. Would you help me? Would you give me the strength to make it through? What is this thorn? May the Lord help you. Sing on, Brother Gary. There's thorns. Come on, talk to God about it. Talk to the Lord about it.
Have thine own way, wounded and weary.
Help,
help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior dear.
They're playing through softly. I'd like some of our ladies, if you wouldn't mind, to come and let's surround Miss Pruitt. She found out this week she's got more cancer. She's got to go this week and start chemotherapy. God can help her in this. God's grace can see her through. No question about it. And that little group right there, I'd like my wife just to quietly raise her voice. I'm not talking about where the whole church can hear, but just that little group right there. You pray with Miss Pruitt as we're dealing with folks here at the altar. Maybe God's still speaking to you. Maybe God has got his hand on something. Maybe there's a thorn in your flesh and you say, this thing's going to kill me. This thing's going to destroy me. Not if you're a child of God. It may destroy your testimony if you let it. May destroy your influence, but it's not going to take you down. You're in good hands. God wants to see you through. The Lord wants to help you. Brother Gary's going to sing another verse. The invitation's still open. Come on, folks. Talk to God about it. Bring it to the Lord. You say, I'm not going to come forward. Well, then just have a seat right there. Make your seat an altar. Ask God to speak to you. As Brother Gary sings, you come on.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me.
Brother Field, if you wouldn't mind, and we'll have you make your way out to your table there. He has a table out in the little breezeway. I hope many of you will go by and shake his hand. Thank him for coming and being with us. No question about it. You know what I'm glad of? I'm glad the Lord uses all kinds of preachers. We had a wildfire coming here this week. He was a tornado jumping up and down and all this kind of stuff, and God used him in a mighty way. You have Brother Field come, 27 years old, nervous and scared, but he opens the same book, preaches the same message. God used him in our midst. I'm telling you, I don't talk like this much because I realize it's the church's authority to take on a missionary, but we're going to be taking that young man on. Amen. That young man doesn't have all of his life to raise the support. Here he is, and he's 2 years past where he's already supposed to be. And he wants to go tell people in Trinidad about Jesus. Glory, let's help him get there. Let's help him live the God-given dream that's in his heart. God, help our church to take the lead in this. I want to get that young man to the field. Glory. Praise God. Shame on us. Shame on me. Thinking we've got a splinter in our finger. And that young man's dying of Lou Gehrig's disease. And stands right here and says, people tell me I'm going to pray God heals you. And he says, don't do that. Don't ask God to heal me. Because I'll go right back to my old way of life. Glory. Praise God. I'm glad I gave up the pulpit to that young man. Tell you. That's powerful. This is Eugene and Emily Radford. If y'all wouldn't mind to stand there, if you wouldn't mind. Fine couple. Precious family. They do know the Lord as their Savior, no question about it. They've been scripturally immersed and baptized. They would like to join our church by letter from the Answer Baptist Church. They've been visiting a while, and God's leading them this direction. We've had the privilege of visiting with them in the home and speaking to them. We're so glad you're here. It's a great work to do. We want you to help us. So privileged to have you come. God bless you. What's the desire of the church in this? Could I get a motion that we receive them on the letter, Brother Mark? Brother Steve, second. All in favor, say aye and raise your hand high. Any opposed, same sign. So carry. If you folks will stay right there, I hope many of you will come and welcome them to the membership of the church. And Brother Fields out there, Lord's Supper tonight. Let me remind you, be here if you can. Deacons, be here at 6 o'clock. And God willing, I wouldn't mind to vote tonight, bringing that young man on. We just need to figure out how much we're going to do. Try to get him there, you know. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Miss Pruitt, we're praying for you. Praying for you. I appreciate your strong faith. God bless you. Amen. Father, we love you today and thank you for the privilege of being in your house. I pray for Miss Pruitt as she starts this chemotherapy this week. Would you bless her now? Keep the devil away from her. Thank you for the Radfords coming to join the ranks here. Help us to be faithful in preaching the word of God to their soul. And help them to help us reach people for Christ. Bless this dear young man. Touch him as he tries to get to Trinidad. And help us as a church to do our part. Bless us now as we go our separate ways in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you, folks. God bless you. If you have a visitor's card, please turn it in right out in the lobby out there where Brother Gary is.